It's amazing to me how God in His sovereign plan designs a service that we do every year like this, a patriotic service, and how He aligns that with His Word in the series that I'm preaching through the book of Joshua. And today's message is going to be one that speaks to the issues that we're facing as a nation, but more importantly, to where you are in life and the battle that you may be facing right now. You know, there are periods in our lives where we go through the wilderness. We get through that and we're ready to cross the Jordan River. We go into the promised land, the life that God has for us, the will of God in that particular circumstance. And then there in front of us, confronting us, is a Jericho, a battle that we have to face. And one of the things that is so difficult for many Christians is the fact that the Christian life is one that is one Jericho after another after another. The children of Israel have crossed the Jordan River and they're getting ready to fight this first battle as they take the promised land that God has given to them. And for many of us, we see ourselves struggling because of the battle. We don't have the energy to fight that battle. There are some who would say that once a person becomes a Christian, you no longer have to deal with temptation or sin. But the Word of God and our own experience refutes that clearly. It's an impossible thing to happen in our lives. And so what do you do when you don't have the energy, the strength to fight your battle? Well, Joshua chapters 5 and 6 will teach us today how to let God fight your battle. I want you to open your Bibles there. I'm not going to read both of those chapters, but I want to read a portion of it and really give a very practical application of God's Word to how we let God fight our battles. I want to begin reading in verse 13 in Joshua chapter 5. And so this is what happens. When Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. Joshua approached him and asked, "Are you for us or for our enemies?" "Neither," he replied. "I have now come as commander of the Lord's army." Then Joshua bowed with his face to the ground in worship and asked him, "What does my Lord want to say to his servant?" The commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy." And Joshua did so. Now Jericho was strongly fortified because of the Israelites, no one leaving or entering. The Lord said to Joshua, "Look, I have handed Jericho, its king, and its fighting men over to you. March around the city with all the men of war, circling the city one time. Do this for 6 days. Have 7 priests carry 7 ram's horns, horn trumpets in front of the ark. That is the Ark of the Covenant. But on the 7th day, march around the city 7 times while the priests blow the trumpets. When there is a prolonged blast of the horn and you hear its sound, have all the people give a mighty shout. Then the city wall will collapse and the people will advance, each man straight ahead." Now, several things I want you to notice this morning in the time that we have left about how to let God fight your battle. Number one, your battle is a spiritual battle. Notice that when Joshua, now remember the children of Israel has crossed over, they're at a place called Gilgal. It's where they're encamped, and that's going to be home base for them as they take the promised land. They'll go and come back several times in their deployments of taking the promised land. Just due west of Gilgal is Jericho, and this is where they're going to have their first battle. And notice that Joshua encounters the commander of the Lord's army. So what we find is that the army is not the children of Israel that's encamped at Gilgal. This is a different army. This is the Lord's army. This is the host of heaven around the throne of God waiting for the command of God to go to war for you, to go to battle, to go to a spiritual battle where the real battle takes place in our lives. One of the things that we are disillusioned about in our Christian experience is that we're trying to fight a supernatural battle with natural weapons, and that's why we experience failure and we experience defeat. That's why we come to these battles and we feel like we have no strength, because we're trying to fight them in the flesh rather than allowing God to do it. Now notice the commander. Who is this commander? Well, this is what is described as a theophany. A theophany is a manifestation of God or of the Lord. And we see that particularly in the Old Testament, where God manifests himself. It could be through a vision, it could be through a man, it could be through an angel. Many believe the commander of the Lord's army here, or the angel of the Lord, or other descriptions in the Old Testament, is Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, the pre-incarnate Christ. Christmas is about Christ coming to us, the incarnation of Jesus Christ, him coming from heaven to earth. But this is the pre-incarnate Christ. Now some may wonder, well, is that really possible that it's Jesus Christ? Well, many scholars believe that the text itself helps describe this, where we find that we know it is God speaking to him, and we believe it is the Lord, we find that he draws the sword, that it is the commander with a sword in his hand, as it we would find describing Jesus Christ. And also that it is a description of the encounter that Moses had. Notice that the very same words are used, that you're standing on holy ground, take the sandals off your feet. But more importantly, we find that in the Old Testament, when Israel is in the wilderness, that the cloud that is before them is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, the rock that they drink water from would indicate that. And Paul affirms that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, where he says that Israel drank from a spiritual rock, that rock followed them, and that rock was Jesus Christ. And so over and over again, we find the Lord reveals himself. And the point of this issue here is that Joshua is come to understand that the battle that he is facing is a spiritual battle. That the commander of the Lord's army, of the host of heaven, has come to fight the battle for him. I want you to notice, well, let me get to that in just a moment. But 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, helps us understand the spiritual battle that we're in even today. Notice what Paul writes. For although we are walking in the flesh, we do not wage war in a fleshly way. Since the weapons of our warfare are not fleshly, but are powerful through God for the demolition of strongholds. We demolish arguments and every high-minded thing that is raised up against the knowledge of God, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. What's important for us to understand is that no plan, no program, no book will defeat Satan or solve our problems. The battle that our nation is in right now is not a physical battle. It's not a political battle. It is a spiritual battle. And what's at stake is the souls of men and women. The venue that is being used is the political climate, the cultural, social climate that is taking place in our nation right now. And we're not going to win this battle with natural weapons. It's going to take the commander of the Lord's army working in the hearts of men and women to take care of the issue that is at hand. The battle that is in our nation and the battle that you're facing is a spiritual battle. Secondly, very important, how do we let God fight our battle? Make sure you're on the right side. The walls of Jericho would have never collapsed had it not been for Joshua humbling himself in worship to the Lord and surrendering to the lordship of the commander of the Lord's army. You see, behind the powers of ungodly nations and rulers in our world today is Satan. Behind the resistance of a spouse, a child, or parents to the word of God is Satan. Behind the divided home, the broken heart, the ruined life, and the shattered testimony is Satan. Behind racism, violent riots, murders is Satan. Listen, it's either revival or ruin for all of us. And we've got to decide which side of the battle that we're going to be on. You can't be neutral in the battles that God has presented for us. We can't remain neutral. In fact, C.S. Lewis said, the hottest places in hell are reserved for those who remain neutral in a time of great moral crisis. And so the battle that you're in, you've got to decide right now, am I going to be with God or am I going to be with Satan? I want you to listen to how the conversation takes place. Joshua asked, are you on our side or are you on their side? That's not the question. The commander of the Lord's army makes it very sure. The question, Joshua, is, are you on God's side? Are you on God's side? You see, we believe, oh, God is going to help us, and He is going to help us. And it's not that this is what I believe is right, and I want God to help me execute what I believe is right. No, is am I willing to submit to His command, to His leadership, so that I'm fighting with Him as He fights the battle for me? Notice also, the enemy lives in fear. This is a great point that we find in Joshua. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Now Jericho was strongly fortified because of the Israelites. No one leaving or entering. There was great fear of the Israelites. Now how could the Israelites walk around the city as often as they did? Because the inhabitants of Jericho were walled up. One translation says they were tightly shut up because of the Israelites. Now, Rahab had already acknowledged this in Joshua 2, verse 11, where she says, we lost heart and everyone's courage failed because of you. The problem today is just the opposite. We are the ones who are living in fear of the enemy. We're not standing in authority over the enemy. We're living in fear. We underestimate the power of Almighty God. And although Satan is powerful, he's the one who lives in fear. He cannot stand against the truth of God, the Word of God. Not once did Jesus ever demonstrate fear, and we shouldn't either. You know, one of the things that our country is lacking today are those who are believers in Christ who are strong and courageous and bold, but so many of us are living in fear. We're not sure what to do. We're not sure what to say. We're not sure if this is going to help or if it's going to offend somebody or all the rest. And that's why the answer is in the Lord Jesus Christ and being confident in Him and speaking words of truth from the Word of God. So much I could say about this, but it is centered in the truth of God. So we have to decide, whose side are we going to be on? And knowing that the enemy is living in fear, and be confident of that. Next, the battle has already been won. Notice verse 2 of chapter 6. The Lord said to Joshua, look, I have handed Jericho, its king, and its fighting men over to you. He doesn't say, I will hand it over. It's past tense verb. It has already happened. You just need to appropriate the victory that is yours. The outcome's already decided. And listen, the outcome of your Jericho has already been decided for you. The victory's already been won because of the work of Christ on the cross. And you're able to claim that victory and live in that victory, even though the circumstance may not change, even though it's still going to be hard and difficult, even though you're going to be wounded in the battle, you're going to suffer in the battle, you're going to be persecuted in the battle, but you're going to get through it victorious because the battle has already been given to you. Paul affirms that in Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 20. Notice what he says. God demonstrated His power in the Messiah by raising Him from the dead and seating Him at His right hand in the heavens. Notice, far above every ruler and authority, power and dominion, and every title given, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And He put everything under His feet and appointed Him as head over everything for the church, which is His body, the fullness of the one who fills all things in every way. That's why we can have confidence that the battle's already been won. Not just what happened in Jericho with Joshua thousands of years ago, but again because of the position of Jesus Christ as head over everything, and everything is under His feet, so we can trust Him. Notice also, Do exactly what God tells you to do. Now, I want to get very practical here and specific about what steps you can take in order to know that I'm letting God fight my battle rather than me fight the battle in the flesh. First of all, take time to evaluate the situation. I want you to notice that the children of Israel were instructed to march around Jericho 13 times. 13 times they were able to take a long look at Jericho and a long look at the enemy. They didn't just rush in and fight the battle, but they took time to wait on the Lord. To wait on the Lord. And when the Lord said, "This is the time to take it," then they were ready and prepared. And they had evaluated, they had understood the situation that was at hand. And in our Jerichos, we need to do the same thing. It's so easy for us. You know, Americans are very pragmatic. We're problem solvers, and we want to get things done. We live in that kind of culture. But it's a detriment to us in so many ways in that we rush in and we make mistakes. We underestimate the situation, and we underestimate God's plan and God's will. And that's why it's important for us that we wait on the Lord. And it doesn't mean we just sit by and do nothing, but we continue in obedience to Him, serving Him and following Him. But with that specific Jericho you're dealing with, we wait on the Lord. And that outcome has already been decided. It's already been happened for us. So, take time to evaluate the situation. Secondly, surround the problem with God. The central feature of the procession was the Ark of the Covenant. That represented the presence and the power of God, and the Ark was going before the children of Israel. They followed the Ark. When the Ark moved, they moved. And they knew that they could surround the city with the presence of God. As they marched around the city 13 times, God was with them and marched around with them those 13 times. Think about what was taking place. Remember how many people crossed the Jordan River. And these fighting men who went to battle, some estimate it was about 500,000 to a million fighting men alone who surrounded Jericho and walked around it. Think about the inhabitants inside every day, once a day, and then seven times on the seventh day, thump, 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 as they heard those feet walking around that city, terrified in their heart what would happen. And God is surrounding that city and surrounding and preparing the hearts of the people to assure victory. Now, how do we do that today? Well, we don't physically walk around the problem. If I see you walking around your house every day, I'm gonna call you and check on you. But that's not what we do. What do? We go to God in prayer. We surround the problem with prayer. And we underestimate, again, the priority and the power of prayer. I mean, think. Your Jericho you're dealing with right now. How much time have you actually spent praying about your Jericho? I mean, get in the closet. You're on your face before God. You're crying out to the Lord. You're alone with Him. And you're praying, praying, praying. I'm listening to other people. I'm reading books. I'm watching people on TV. They all have their place. But that cannot replace what God has clearly stated over and over and over again in His Word, that we need to pray, that we need to seek God. Not seek His hand, but seek His face. To know Him, to understand His will, to give us the instruction that we need in order to find the victory. Surround the problem with prayer. Then admit your weakness. As they walked around that city, it became evident to all of them that there's no way that we're going to be able to conquer this city alone. And the greatest difficulty for many Christians is coming to that point, admitting, I cannot win this battle. I don't know what to do. And the only way anything's going to happen is I have to surrender to the Lord. The power of the enemy is too great. Speaking of prayer, that's why Jesus said, some things require prayer and fasting. We need to seek the Lord, admit our weakness, and if your Jericho is going to fall somehow, God must make it happen. Listen, and I cannot be the husband, the father, the pastor, the friend to my family and to you. I cannot do that alone. It's too great. And the enemy is too great, trying to destroy all those connections that I have with people. It's coming to a point in realizing, as Jesus said, apart from me, you can do nothing. The blessing comes by admitting I cannot do it. I need to let God fight my battle. The Jericho is standing there, and the Jericho will fall as you receive it as God's gift to you to show you, you can't do this, Mark, but I can. Let me fight your battle. Then, act by faith. So important that we see this. Act by faith. We take the step of faith. It took great faith for the children of Israel, not only to hear the command of God, but to do it. Do what? March around a city one time, blow trumpets, have a great shout on the seventh day, and watch the wall fall down? Sure. Hebrews 11:30 says this, By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after being encircled for 7 days. It was an act of Almighty God, but it was also an act of obedience. What is faith? Faith is obedience to the command of God. The commander of the Lord's army said this is what to do. They did it by faith, and victory came. Now, the last point that I want to make, notice, when all that happens, take the ground. Verse 20 of chapter 6. So the people shouted, and the trump sounded. And when they heard the blast of the trumpet, the people gave a great shout, and the wall collapsed. Now, what does that mean? When the walls came down, they didn't stand around and say, well, what do we do now? I mean, do you think it's really okay that we go in? Should we take the ground? You know, maybe we ought to think about this. Maybe we ought to pray a little bit longer about this. No, it was obvious what God had done. You know, I was making this point the first hour, and the Lord in that moment reminded me of the experience that I had in 1994 when I came to be your pastor the first time. I'm not going to tell you the whole story, but it's humorous in a way, thinking about would the children of Israel had done that, but that's what I did. I hesitated. And I thought it was God's will to come. I said no, and I couldn't eat, sleep. I was miserable. And you know, on a Wednesday in the spring, it was in June, Mark and Lori Strickland went to Florida. They went to church on Wednesday night, saw my dad's name on the marquee. And Lori said, hey, my dad's on the committee. His name's Leroy Brown. And he's been praying that Mark's been miserable, couldn't sleep or eat. And that was what happened. I've never forgiven him for praying that. You know, but on that same day, I called my dad. And I said, Dad, and he told me that story. And I said, well, Dad, earlier that day, I saw Jim Henry, the pastor of the church that I had been at and at a seminary. And I was the college pastor. In a strange set of events behind a big event hall where there are tens of thousands of people, I see Jim Henry out of all those people. And he said, I hear you going to Cape. I said, Jim, I said no, and I think I made a mistake. What do I do? He said, I made the same mistake. You call him. I said to Dad, what do I do? What do I do? He said, are you kidding me? You call him. Take the ground. You don't need to pray about it. You don't need to talk about it. God has made it obvious to take the ground. And if we don't take the ground, worse things will happen. When God has made it obvious what you should do, when God has acted on your behalf and you don't take the ground, what happens? Well, let me tell you how Jesus described it in Matthew chapter 12. When an unclean spirit comes out of a man, it roams through waterless places looking for rest, but doesn't find any. Then it says, I'll go back to my house that I came from. And when it arrives, it finds the house vacant, swept, and put in order. Then off it goes and brings with it seven other spirits more evil than itself, and they enter and settle down there. As a result, that man's last condition is worse than the first. That's how it will be, notice Jesus says, with this generation. If they don't trust Him and let Him be Lord, then it's going to be a horrible experience for that individual. And if we're not willing to submit to the lordship of the command of God and follow His will, whether it be a nation, whether it be an individual, whether it be a family, that together with God, if we don't do that, then we're going to find ourselves in a horrible place in life and in the life to come. Well, what do we do? Well, the commander of the Lord's army, what does he do? He gives us strength. And David writes this in Psalm 27:1. The Lord is the strength of my life. Many years ago, I heard somebody say about that. The Lord is the strength to go on. You don't feel like going on. You don't have the energy to go on. That's because you have no strength. And God's put you in a position to help you see you have no strength. But He does. The strength of the Lord helps me go on. The strength of the Lord helps me go up. To climb out of the valley that I'm in and climb the mountain that God has for me. But the strength of the Lord also helps you go down. To go down from the mountain that you've been on and go face the Jericho that's in front of you. You know it's there. You know it's going to be a battle. You know it's going to cost you. But He'll give you the strength to step down into the valley and let Him fight the battle. And the strength of the Lord will help you be still. He'll help you walk around your Jericho for 13 days, for 13 years, or however long it may be. And He'll give you the strength to take one step at a time and surround it with prayer as you're ready and prepared to take the ground when the wall falls. Who's fighting your battle? Who's fighting your Jericho? Let it be the Lord. The wall will fall and you can take the ground. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. You might be here this morning and you say, Pastor, I've realized today that I'm on the wrong side of my battle. And I need to submit to the commander of the Lord's army, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm willing to turn from my sin and turn to Christ alone for my salvation. To know that the real battle, listen, the real battle today is the battle of sin in a man's heart. Jesus has brought victory to us through the cross. We have authority and power over sin. It's already been defeated, and over the enemy. So it all begins with this first step. You may not be sure what to do or say, but as you come to one of the pastors, we'll help you. There might be somebody else here today, many in this room perhaps, who would say, Pastor, I know the Lord and I love Him, but I'm at a place where I don't know if I can fight the Jericho that's ahead of me. Well, there's good news. The Lord is there right now with you. He wants to help you. He wants you to surrender. He wants you to bow in worship to Him, to humble yourself, and to let Him fight your battle. Boy, I tell you, that gives me great hope. It gives me great encouragement to know that I don't have to do it. I can let Him do it. There might be others who are here today, and God is leading you to become part of our church family. The beauty of the church is that in the Jerichos that we're facing, God has designed it where we're able to help each other. Paul uses the word build each other up, to edify, to encourage, that there is strength in the body of Christ as we come together, a unified body, to fight the battle that's in our world today. And so God may be leading you to be part of a family, an army who's willing to serve together with you. There might be others that just need to come and pray here at the altar alone, or maybe you would like somebody to pray for you. I just ask that you not miss the moment, this moment right now that God is speaking to your heart. God, I thank you for the hope that we have in you, that you are the commander. You're in charge of it all. You have all authority and power, all wisdom. You are the Lord God Almighty, not some passive being that's out there disconnected from a broken world, but you have brought us hope through the Lord Jesus Christ. You've won the battle. God, may we celebrate that. May we claim that victory. May we live in that victory. As for some, it begins right now. In Jesus' name, amen.